Well, hello and welcome to Binge Watch, the podcast where we take a look at the hottest new TV and film releases on streaming television platforms. I'm Hannah Fernando, the group editor of Woman and Woman and Home magazine.
And I'm Ian McEwan, writer on TV and Satellite Week, What's on TV and TV Times magazines. And today we're looking at the new releases for the week starting Friday the 29th of March 2024, including Sally Wainwright's epic Disney Plus adventure Renegade Nell, starring Louisa Harland from Derry Girls and Ted Lasso's Nick Mohammed, and This Town, a new BBC series set during the 1980s ska music revival in the Midlands.
And we'll also be checking out Apple TV's Steve Martin documentary, Steve, and Ewan McGregor playing a Russian aristocrat in the Paramount Plus period drama, A Gentleman in Moscow. But first, Ian, what is in the news, please?
Martin Compston of Line of Duty fame and Anjali Mohindra will star in Prime Video's three-part psychological drama, Fear, as a couple who move to London where they are unsettled by their new neighbours.
And in Netflix's political thriller, The Choice, Saran Jones, brilliant, will play a newly appointed British Prime Minister whose husband is kidnapped.
I said last week was good. This is even better. This is a classic week, which is good news because it's the Easter break coming up, Hannah. So plenty of good stuff to binge on. We're going to start on BBC One and BBC iPlayer with a new drama series called This Town. And here's a clip.
If you don't get away, you just become what everybody already thinks you are. I've got to do something to stop myself thinking nothing is worth doing.
Dante, I've got lots of tunes in my head. I could do the tunes and you could do the words. What'd you say?
Bang goes the gong. All along I've been wrong. How could I have been so thick? Words need music.
So this arrives on Easter Sunday, 9 p.m. BBC One, and then episode 2 on Easter Monday at the same time and channel. Then it will be shown weekly, but there will be a box set available on the iPlayer. So that's that out of the way. It's from Mr. Stephen Knight, who created Peaky Blinders. And yes, we're back in the Midlands. Cast your mind back, Hannah. Well, you're too young, actually. I'll cast my mind back to when I was at university and the specials were top of the charts with Ghost Town, all about sort of urban decay and youth violence and alienation. Well, Knight, who grew up in the Midlands, has written this new series, which is set in the early 1980s in Coventry and Birmingham. And it's about troubled youngsters who form a band as part of the burgeoning ska revival scene. Now, Hannah, as you know, I am in a ska band called The Irregulars. So this is right up my street. There's a lot of up-and-coming talent playing the youngsters who get the band together, but you've also got Michelle Dockery playing an alcoholic mother. You've got David Dawson playing a gangster, and you've got Geraldine James playing a matriarch. So really, at the heart of it, these two young lads, Dante, played by Levi Brown, he's kind of a dreamer, he writes poetry, so he will sort of become the lyric writer for the band. And then his cousin, Barden, has an Irish father who wants to sort of recruit him to the Republican cause. So this is all during the IRA bombing campaign on mainland Britain. And Dante's brother is a soldier serving in Belfast, but he comes back home and there's a whole plot line involving him. So, as you would imagine, the soundtrack is fantastic. Classic tracks and also reworkings of classic tracks by contemporary acts. Young cast, very good. There's kind of quite a lot of quite poetic dialogue, which doesn't always quite work, but these are very likeable characters. You're going to get invested in them. The social history of the piece is superb. It does take quite a long time for the band to get together. But yeah, this was right up my street and I absolutely loved it. What did you think?
Yeah, I completely agree. I really enjoyed it. At first, I kind of thought, oh, this is a bit sort of stereotypical of the usual story of a band getting together. And as you say, there's the dreamer and then there's this one and that one and everyone's quite stereotyped. But it knocks on that door, but it's so good that doesn't matter almost, because there's the backstory here. It's kind of the whole kind of, as you say, the kind of social, the kind of history behind it all. And if you like music, it's great too, isn't it? Because it kind of, I don't know, you feel like you're on a journey with them, and it doesn't take long to get into. It doesn't take long to get invested in the individual characters and kind of understand, you know, their ways and what they do and don't like, and their kind of want to break free from the regular kind of family and life restrictions that we all have put upon us. So I think it just shows that, again, puts art into the limelight as being something that where people, you know, who find it difficult to express themselves can. So really enjoyed it.
We're going to move across to Disney Plus for a new fantasy drama series arriving on Good Friday. It's called Renegade Nell, and here's a clip.
No mortal will touch her, so we must entrap her.
You're going to die, Nellie Jackson.
Yeah, well, I was never going to die in bed.
Oh, good God.
Yeah, so I kind of wasn't sure what to expect with this. But so this is the first season. Obviously, there's 8 episodes. I've seen the first episode. And Louisa Harland, as you say, she plays the main part. And she was in Derry Girls. And she plays the part of this she has supernatural powers. So first of all, I'm thinking, well, this isn't really for me. But actually, this is just a little bit different. And I quite like it. And there are places where it's just a bit laughable and a bit ridiculous. But that's also okay. So she's a fearless outlaw. She's upset someone in her village. This is set in the 18th century in England. And she has these supernatural powers that mean that she can fight. And she can sort of take on anyone without anyone actually hurting her. So she's on the run because, as I say, she's upset someone in her village, this local landowner's son, Thomas, played by Jake Dunn. And she comes, I mean, everybody, by the end, she creates absolute chaos. So, you know, she even becomes known by the Queen. You know, that's how notorious she becomes. And she's called Nell Jackson, but everyone calls her Nellie. And that's a theme the whole way through. My name is not Nellie. She's been framed for something that she didn't do, which is why she has this enemy. And so she just has to run away. But everyone that comes in her path, she managed to use these sort of supernatural powers to kind of see them off. So it's a real kind of tale of, I suppose, woman power and the fact that she could do anything she wants. But I think she plays it really well because she's, I don't know, she's sort of this almost fairy tale like character, but she's invincible and hard. It's kind of two worlds colliding, I suppose, because, you know, she's not dressed brilliantly well. She's grubby. She's on the streets, really, living on the streets, trying to run away. I felt like it sort of worked somehow in a way that I didn't think it would at the very beginning. I just thought, oh no, it's just another person with supernatural powers, and, you know, guess what, they can see everybody off. But she didn't, and she's got this brilliant Cockney accent that she had to learn, because of course she's from Derry Girls, you'll know. She's Dublin born, she has an Irish accent, and she just brings brings a lot of fun to this. I think because it's centered around her, she does bring a lot of fun to it, and it's a good romp. I really did like what I've seen so far. How about you, Ian?
Well, you wait ages for a show about highwaymen and women to come along, and suddenly we get two on the trot. So we had Noel Fielding playing Dick Turpin over on Apple TV. Now we've got this one, which is of course from Sally Wainwright, writer of the brilliant Happy Valley and Gentleman Jack, so showing her great versatility here. Those Derry Girls, they're doing quite well, aren't they? So Louisa Harland is the latest to be headlining, and she's great in this, really good. So you've got some big names in here. You've got Craig Parkinson from Line of Duty. You've got Nick Mohammed from Ted Lasso. He's sort of playing this, I don't know, he's almost like a sort of Jiminy Cricket or Tinkerbell character. He's a little sprite who appears and gives Nell her superpower. Adrian Lester is playing a baddie. You've got Joelle Richardson playing a newspaper magnate. So it's such an unusual show because, yes, it is a period, rollicking period drama, but with this sort of supernatural fantasy element. But it works. And I got to say, I'm particularly impressed by Harlan's performance. And we were lucky enough, Binge Watch were lucky enough to have a little chat with Louisa and Nick about the show, more of which to come later. Like you, I wasn't particularly thinking this would be my kind of thing, but I really, really enjoyed it. It looks great, and good to see so many British stars in a Disney Plus show. Over on Paramount Plus, also arriving on Friday, we have a new period drama series called A Gentleman in Moscow, and here is a clip.
State your name.
Alexander Ilyich Rostov.
Occupation.
It's not the business of gentlemen to have occupations.
Your class is a threat against Russia. Therefore, it is the judgment of this committee that you be returned to the Metropole Hotel, where you will remain for the rest of your days.
This stars Ewan McGregor. I think he's one of our great actors. Of course, he was in Trainspotting. He's done Star Wars as Obi-Wan Kenobi. In this, he is playing a Russian aristocrat who is imprisoned in a Moscow hotel for more than three decades. And I'm pleased to say that they don't try and do the sort of generic Russian / Eastern European accent. Everyone just does it in their own accent, which I have to say I prefer. So it's an eight-parter. It's based on a novel. And yes, McGregor is Count Alexander Rostov. And at the beginning, it's post the Russian Revolution, okay? He's come back to Russia. He was in Paris, I think. And he's on trial because they're putting all the aristos on trial. But because he wrote a communist poem when he was younger, rather than being executed, they say, well, you've got to stay in this posh hotel in Moscow. You mustn't leave. If you leave, you'll get shot. And it's a very opulent hotel, but he's stuck up in a little kind of attic room, which is like the servants' quarters. And it all takes place inside the hotel. So it's fascinating. It's actually shot on location in the north of England, in various cities in the north of England. McGregor is, as always, he's great. He's got a very good moustache in this. And he befriends this little girl in the hotel who sort of shows him all the back ways and the corridors and secret passageways and so on. And then years later, she comes back as an adult with her own daughter, and he looks after that little girl. So, yeah, it's I think it's really nicely done. It's sort of like all these aristocrats who have, well, they haven't exactly fallen on hard times, but the revolution has happened, and the communists are keeping them all in the hotel so they can sort of keep an eye on them. So it's all sort of faded nobility, if you like, distressed gentlefolk. So I really enjoyed it, and I always love seeing Ewan McGregor. He's just a class act. And his wife, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, is also in it, playing a famous film star, Anna Urbanova. Hannah, is this one for you?
Yeah, I like Ewan McGregor. If you know he's in it, you know it's going to be good, because you say he's stellar, isn't he? He just knows exactly what he's doing. I thought what was interesting here is that the set was actually shot on a Manchester soundstage. So it like had 19th century buildings in Leeds, Bolton, Halifax, all used for different scenes. So I thought that was quite interesting, because you wouldn't necessarily know that when you're watching it. I think it's really well done. I think it's something that I always go back to this, of whether you can kind of get on and do something else while you're watching it. I think you want to sit back and watch this properly, because it's quite hard hitting in places, and it's interesting, and you don't want to miss sections of it, do you? You need to know every part of it for it to sort of piece together. But as I say, anything with Ewan McGregor in it has got to be worth a watch, hasn't it?
We're going to finish on Apple TV with a two-part documentary arriving on Friday, the 29th of March. It's called Steve! Exclamation mark. And here is a clip.
And if you bought my album and you came down here expecting me to do a lot of routines from the record and I didn't do them,
well, excuse me!
This guy was getting people so happy.
I always thought, this just does not happen. And it did.
Yeah, so I've obviously enjoyed watching Steve Martin over the years, but I'm not sure that I knew that much about him. And this is a new documentary, as you say, made by Apple TV Plus. And this looks back at his lifetime and where it started, which I suppose I just didn't know enough about him. In my years, it's been him in movies. And yes, he's funny, but I didn't realise that he actually started out as a comedian, completely a comedian, and that was it, a stand-up comedian, in fact. And this is really interesting because it takes you right back to the very beginning of that and how he kind of changed the face of comedy. And it features contributions from Tina Fey, Jerry Seinfeld, Eric Idle, and all talking about how he sort of changed the face of comedy at that time. And it was quite sort of slapstick in places. It was quite sort of, you know, some of the stuff that I watched on there, I thought, well, I don't find that very funny, but the audience are absolutely rolling around. So, of course, it did really well. Now, the first episode is narrated largely by him, by Steve Martin. And it's using all that archive footage. So you see there's some in black and white. You see him on stage doing what, as I say, how he started out. And it wasn't until I think he was in his 30s, he kind of turned his back on comedy and went into the kind of, I suppose, acting and doing that kind of, because I think my first outing with him was Father of the Bride, which of course he was really funny in. And then the second episode is more about him and what sort of, because he was actually somebody who was very, very anxious. He was anxiety ridden, and the idea that he would be able to go on stage or even become the kind of person that he's become today in the public eye, even to him by his own admission, is quite something. So you really learn a lot about him, because quite often with comedians there's quite a big backstory, isn't there? There's a reason, or they hide behind that, and in this instance exactly the same thing with Steve Martin. So I felt that it was really interesting documentary. I learned a lot about him, and if you like Steve Martin, then it's definitely one for you. But if you're not, you know, that phased, you'll still learn a lot. So definitely worth a watch. Ian?
I really enjoyed it, and like you, I learned a lot that I didn't know, because I know Steve Martin very much from films like The Three Amigos, which is just superb, and LA Story and Roxanne. There's some interesting stuff about his relationship with his father, which wasn't great, and also in part two, the fact that he became a father himself quite late on in life, and his thoughts about that. Yeah, his days, he was kind of like one of the first megastar stand-up comedians, kind of arena-filling stand-ups with an absolutely fanatical fan base. So that was quite interesting. You can tell that he really felt the flops of his film career very deeply, but of course he had a lot of successes as well. And then latterly, I don't know if you've seen on Netflix, I don't know if it's still on there, but there's he now works as a sort of double act with Martin Short, who was in Three Amigos with him, and they're hilarious, kind of taking the mickey out of each other, and it's a sort of mix of songs and kind of jokes and really good act. So he's doing that these days, and I think he much prefers being part of a double act, because it's, you know, the life of a solo performer, it's quite a lonely one. And he does talk about how he never really kind of let people in, you know, he was quite closed off. Although, of course, he did, I think among his previous relationships, Victoria Principal, of course, I think he was married to. Anyway, if you're a Steve Martin fan, even if you're not hugely, it's a really interesting and moving story, actually. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. Recommended. Before we move on, I just want to flag up that Binge Watch was lucky enough to get an exclusive interview this week with Nick Mohammed and Louisa Harland from the new Disney Plus series, Renegade Nell, which, as we said earlier, arrives on Good Friday. And that will be released as a bonus Binge Watch podcast very soon. So keep an eye out for that. It's good stuff. Now, we've got to that time, Hannah, excitingly, where we find out what you've been binging on over the last week.
Well, you'll be pleased to hear my Saturday night was fine this week, because Saturday Night Takeaway was absolutely back and absolutely brilliant. Of course, the Celebrity Big Brother final. And also, I did dip into Married at First Sight because, well, why not?
For myself, quite a bit of music going on Sky Arts. There was a documentary about the specials. On Netflix, I watched Talladega Nights, the great film comedy starring Will Ferrell and Sacha Baron Cohen, doing this French racing driver. Hello, Ricky Bobby. And of course, Celebrity Bake Off is on at the moment, and that's always good fun, especially Danny Dyer. He was very good value. Now, we've just got time to look ahead to next week's offering. So what is on the binge watch menu, Hannah?
Colin Farrell plays an enigmatic LA private eye caught up in a web of secrets in the Apple TV drama Sugar.
And this is the big one. Get ready. Rufus Sewell and Gillian Anderson will star in the Netflix drama Scoop, which is all about Prince Andrew's car crash TV interview with Emily Maitlis. I cannot wait.
So, me either.
So we look forward to those and much, much more. But in the meantime, listeners,
watching.